Appreciate it. Good morning. How is everyone today? Everyone good? Good. We've been talking about Philippians. We last week talked about the first section of it. For the next 4 weeks, I'm going to be covering the first two chapters of Philippians. So if you want to do all the homework that you need for the next 4 weeks, and I'm talking about picking up, in fact, in January, going up and doing the last two chapters of Philippians. So if you want to know everything that I'm going to be preaching about, you can read it in four simple chapters. I believe everyone needs to have, hi Todd, how are you doing? It's good to see you. I believe everyone needs to have a favorite book of the Bible. One book of the Bible that you can say, you know what, if I were stuck on a desert island and I only had one book of the Bible, that this was going to be what I had to share with everyone, you need to find that for you. For me, it's Philippians. It's been that for decades. For decades and decades, and I haven't preached from it for a long time because it's like an old friend for me personally. Going back to it, I kind of feel like I'm cheating. But for us, I'm talking about giving thanks for these next few days, with Thanksgiving coming up, these next few Sundays as Thanksgiving comes up, and giving thanks for giving. Because I think, you know, we forget about what a gracious gift we have to give to each other, to love each other. And this morning I want to spend a few minutes just talking about what it is to love, to remember love, to lift up love, and to acknowledge love in an important way. There's a little card inside your program this morning. On the back of it, it has the text from Philippians. Now remember, Philippians, this is a letter written by the Apostle Paul while he was in prison. Remember, apostle is just a word. It means someone who is sent, someone who is being sent out. They wrote what? What did they write? Epistles. Now, epistles were not the wives of apostles. They were letters. Epistles are letters written by the apostles that are sent out. The Apostle Paul, he had had a lot of struggles. I mean, he had been in shipwrecks, he had been stoned, he had been in prison, and now he's writing out these letters. And he's saying some lines that are just phenomenal. I mean, let's take it for example. I mean, why would I stick with this for the months to come? If you were to go, you could open up your Bible too if you wanted to. You don't need to, though. But in the fourth chapter, for example, I mean, verses that are familiar to all of us. I mean, Philippians 4:11. Now, this is one we could live with the rest of our lives. We hold on to this. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Have you done that? I mean, have you learned in whatever state you are to be content? When Black Friday comes up, are you going to be able to say, yeah, I don't need to go out on Black Friday? My son came and visited me this weekend, and he already said, Dad, what are we going to get Black Friday? And believe me, it wasn't, oh, I don't need anything Black Friday. I mean, John, my credit cards are maxed out. I mean, it was more along the lines, he said, well, I'm already checking out the ads. I'm already going online to see what's out there, what's happening. We come up, and we have not learned how to be content in every circumstance, have we? We just haven't. That's the truth. The Apostle Paul, this is a guy who's been shipwrecked. He's been in prison. We've got a lot to learn still next year. I mean, you go further forward, though, and maybe some of you know this verse by heart. Philippians 4:13. How many of you know that by heart? It's the truth. I was just standing in line. Thank you, Kurt. I'm glad you do. I was just standing in line behind a woman the other day, and she had one of those kind of little, you know, wife beater shirts on. I don't know what you call them, the little strap things. Excuse me, women. I apologize. I don't know what you call them, the little things. And I could see a tattoo on her back, and I could just see parts of it going back and forth, but I knew it was this. It was Philippians 4:13. I felt like saying, God bless you, young woman. I mean, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then if you go forward to Philippians 4:19, I mean, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. If you just got those three verses down in your spiritual walk, just those three right there, you would be good. You would be good. And so often we try to understand the deep theological premises and try to explain where we're coming from, and all we do is we confuse each other. And we go through these deep struggles. So we have got such a fun 14 weeks of messages outlined here that it's going to be just a blast. And this morning from the first chapter of Philippians, it says, I pray that your love will overflow more and more. Isn't that great? I pray that your love will overflow more and more. Not that you have less and less love, not that your love just gets worse, but that your love overflows more, doesn't that, what a great adjective to use for love, overflowing love. What kind of love do you want? If I got a tattoo, it just might say this, overflowing love. I mean, it'd be right there, you know, or, actually, I get an old English all across the back, overflowing love. I mean, just something really cool, you know, like that, overflowing love. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. That you'll keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. That's a hard one for all of us. It's one thing to pray, yeah, God, I really want to have love that just begins to overflow more and more. But knowledge and understanding. I mean, that's tough for us, isn't it, to think about having knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters. Stop right there. Why did Paul write? Because I want you to understand what really matters. Are you living a life that really matters today? I mean, a life that you get it. I mean, you get it. You know what really matters. Paul wanted them to understand what really matters. Why? So that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. Excuse me, I came down here. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation. This is a tough one because immediately you want to get into some kind of long sermon about, okay, well, what is the fruit of your salvation? So cool that the Apostle Paul right here tells us what the fruit of our salvation is. I want you to be filled how often? Always. I want you to always be filled with the fruit of your salvation. What's that? The righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. You see, the righteous character that's produced in your life by Jesus Christ, that's the fruit of your salvation. What's it mean? Well, it's the fruit of your salvation. It's not just a come in season, not just in the spring, or not just in the summer, or not just in the fall. This is to be always filled with the fruit of your salvation. What is the fruit of your salvation? That's the righteous character that's in your life that came through Christ Jesus. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. When I first started out Jackets for Jesus, our ministry to the streets of Los Angeles, the way I started it out was just literally asking people in the church to bring jackets. And that's still the way we do it. I mean, 29 years later, it's just basically, hey, if you've got some jackets in your closet, and gospel truth, as of yet, not one person has come up to me and said, I don't have any more jackets to wear, Pastor Eric, because I gave all my jackets to you. Up until, not even me. I mean, I have got an abundance of jackets, and I'm the guy, I'm the founder of Jackets for Jesus, and I still have an abundance of jackets in my closet. And the scripture that we use is right from the New Testament. It's John saying, let those who have two coats give one to those who have none. What does it say? Let those of you who have a coat for skiing and a coat for while you're sailing and a coat for your fishing because it's got blood on it already, so you keep it that way, and a coat for this and the coat you wear in church. And no, it says that those who have two coats, you only have two coats, give one of them to those who have none. And so when we started out, I was in my 30s and I was, you know, really excited about this. Then there was this woman who worked with me back then. Her name was Jeannie. She went up there to Magnolia up the street. She came over. She got really on the streets. It was great. The transgender community really attracted her because she wore all this makeup, and they called her the White Barbie. And so they came on the street, and she would collect makeup for them and stuff like this. And then during the week, she'd say, well, Pastor Eric, I really want to do something else towards this. And I said, well, this is what you do. You start going to Big Five and Kmart and Sears and just look inside all the labels of all the different kinds of jackets and get their addresses. And then my secretary, Judy, will write them letters during the week. So I put together a form letter that we sent out monthly to all these big corporations asking them for jackets, because in my mind I was thinking, well, instead of just let, you know, like scripture already told us that those who have two coats give one to those who have none, I thought, well, let's do better than the scriptures. Let's get corporations to give thousands. And, you know, some corporations did. I mean, we went 3 years where Oakley, we had more jackets for 3 years from Oakley than we knew what to do with. And a lot of corporations, my favorite corporation that started giving was a place in Georgia called Thomaston Mills. And I came across this letter the other day. I don't know who saves letters like this other than me. It was written on May 18th, 1992. Now, Thomaston Mills runs lots of different jackets, and they make lots of stuff, lots of stuff. So it was before computers. This was from the guy who owns Thomaston Mills. And I started sending them letters, and so we started getting boxes from them weekly. It was one of their main brands is called Rattler Brands. If you hunt from the South, maybe you've heard of them. They make gaiters, those little things you put over the bottom of your jeans. We'd get the most random hunting gear from them that we would hand out on the streets. We'd get the most random camouflage gear that we'd hand out on the streets. And guys would be walking around in Skid Row on all this camouflage gear like they're going duck hunting. We'd have all this stuff that came from Rattler's brand. But I made friends with the guy who owned the place. His name was Doug. And then I got this letter from him, and it says, "Eric, we recently cleaned out our own closets, and I thought I would send you the items we no longer use frequently. I hope you can use them in your efforts. Sincerely, Doug." And the reason I saved this letter, when I found it the other day going through some stuff, I knew immediately. Because what had happened was exactly what the scripture wanted to happen. We had gone from this corporate thought, well, corporate Christianity is not Christianity, all the way to the individual. We've gone through our closets at home. And when we went through our closets, we thought of jackets for Jesus. And we wanted to give to the second one, to those who have none. And so we're sending them to you. And you see, this is the way love works. This is what God does in us. You may start off in some spot that's just expansive, and it's going out in huge ways, but it always comes back down to that which is personal, where we're lifting up love one-on-one, individually. And if we're not doing that, we're not doing that which Christ Jesus created us for. Christ Jesus created you for love. So on the front of your little card that's there, it says there are three ways we can begin to lift up anyone in love. Now, the hard part there is the anyone, obviously. Lots of us can love some people really well. But most of us have someone that we really can't tolerate. Most of us have someone that we don't even want to be around. Most of us, in fact, have entire people groups that we don't want to be around. We just struggle with them. And you see, God's word calls us to be able to lift up anyone in love. So the first way is to pray for positive growth, grace, healing, and big love. Is to pray for positive growth, grace, healing, and big love. It says, "I pray that your love will overflow more and more." I pray that your love will overflow more and more. Another pastor met me at Siempre para los Niños on Wednesday unexpectedly. He came down and he said, "Man, I can't believe it. You know, the church, his church in Whittier, he said they bought a truck for me to be able to drive back and forth to Siempre." I'm thinking, well, that's cool. I'm driving myself. He said, "But I was driving it down here today and the check engine light came on. What should I do?" I said, "You're asking me?" I said, "I'm driving a Toyota with 400,000 miles on it. I've had the check engine light on for 250,000 miles, and I haven't done a thing." And he said, "You're kidding me." No, I said, "My car hasn't been to the Toyota dealership for 300,000 miles. He said, "You're kidding, really?" I said, "Ignore it. That's my advice. Just ignore it." And he said, "Well, you know, when I was a teenager, I used to have a truck that the light always came on, and I was kind of, you know, fixated back then, too. I couldn't stand it, but I didn't have any money. And so I got a piece of black tape, and I just put the black tape over it, and I just covered it." And, you know, I think that's what a lot of us do with this whole message of love in Christ Jesus. I mean, we forget that love is the engine that makes your Christianity go. I mean, love is the engine that makes your faith work, and without love, it does not go. Without love, we call it religion. Without love, you can keep on going to church. Without love, you can sit next to each other. Without love, you can pray every day and you can read your Bible, but it doesn't mean you have a relationship with Christ Jesus, and it doesn't mean that you're building the relationship with other people that's overflowing. What it means is you've just stuck a piece of tape over that which drives your Christianity. And for us, the way that we can keep that love going is to pray for other people. I can prove this, but I know you're not going to want to do this, but I'll give you the opportunity today. What I would encourage you to do before you leave today, you could do it any point during the message. It won't bother me in the least. Or you can do it after the message. You can do it when Ken's doing the announcements. Just go up to someone that you don't know at all here in church. And all of you have people in here that you don't know at all. Walk up to anybody that you don't know at all and say, "You know, I'd like to pray for you for the next 2 weeks." And just write down their name. Ask for their first and last name. "I would like to pray for you for the next 2 weeks, every day. And I'd like, would you pray for me? And here is my first name and last name. I promise you, 2 weeks from now, you will love each other. 2 weeks from now, you will know things about each other. Our Thursday night service, much smaller. Thursday night, in fact, it's so small. Thursday night, we had two couples there. We had four people. There were four people besides Ken and me. There were six of us there Thursday night over here in the new room. Tom and Ellen, who are flying out to Ireland today, were there. Mike and Carmi, who are two of our stalwarts on Thursday night and keep the doors open on Thursday night, they were there. And I had the same exact illustration. I said, you know what? I can prove that this is going to work. I said, you guys have never met each other before, right? I mean, they're 20 years apart in age. I said, no, we've never met each other. I said, I want you guys to promise. Tom and Ellen, you're getting ready to go for the next 2 weeks in Ireland, to promise to pray for Mike and Carmi. Mike and Carmi, I want you to promise to pray every day for them. Will you guys do that? They said, well, sure. So afterwards, I saw them talking, exchanging each other's information. I mean, within 10 minutes, they knew what high school each other had gone to. They knew where they had grown up. Within 10 minutes, their love was already overflowing more and more. Now, why don't we do that on a daily basis? Fear of rejection, right? Fear of rejection. We're afraid that we're going to walk up to someone and say, you know, would you mind if I prayed for you for the next 2 weeks? And they're going to think, what is wrong with her? I mean, they're going to think, now, how many of you don't want someone praying for you for the next 2 weeks and for your love to grow more and more? I mean, we have a young man who just joined the Coast Guard getting ready to take off, right? Would you appreciate everyone's prayer for the next couple weeks? Look at that haircut. It looks good, man. I'm not kidding you. It looks good. I mean, but someone had enough. Now, Mom and Dad, would you appreciate everyone praying for him for the next 2 weeks? Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you what. And he grew up in dirt, but we think, okay, yeah, well, I'll pray for him. He's taking him. But you know what? Every single person here is going off into their own next 2 weeks. We don't know what they hold. Do you think the people 2 weeks ago in Santa Rosa imagined that 5,000 homes would be burned to the ground? Many of you probably have friends in the Santa Rosa. I know I have family up there. And I'm getting daily, you can follow my Facebook to read the daily updates about what's going on and who's living where and who's staying where as houses are burned down. And I mean, 30 friends of theirs have lost homes. 30 of their friends have lost everything, every single thing. I mean, it's just insane what happens. We need each other's love. That begins by praying for each other. Now, are there other ways that we can love each other? Oh, absolutely, a bazillion. There are a bazillion, but a great way to start off so that we know each other is to go to God in prayer. Just to go to God in prayer with someone else in mind specifically, their name, their needs. For 2 weeks, God, I'm just asking that you would just be with Tricia for the next 2 weeks. God, lift her up and let her love overflow more and more today, whatever her needs are. Would that bother you if I prayed for you every day like that? No, for each of us. For each of us, we all need that. And I want your prayers too, believe me. Second way we can begin to lift up anyone in love is to be an example in our priorities with genuine purity. To be an example in our priorities with genuine purity. It says, for I want you to understand what really matters. For I want you to understand what really matters. Doesn't that sound like something your dad or your mom would say to you? Now, I want you to understand what really matters. Oh, well, tell me what really matters, Dad. I can just imagine as teenagers just coming off, you know. Well, Paul, you know, from the depths of his being is saying, I want you to understand what really matters. Well, let's look at the verse and see what he said, what really matters. So that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. Why should we understand what really matters? So that we can live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. How long did Paul think it would be until Christ returned? He thought it was going to be like any minute. Paul was living for it daily, man. Paul thought it would be any time now. Did it happen in any minute? No, this letter was written 2,000 years ago. I mean, literally 2 millennia have gone by. Most of us struggle with waiting on our faith for 20 minutes. Is preacher going to go another 5 minutes? I mean, we struggle through it, and we've waited 2 millennia. We don't know when Christ is going to return. We have no idea. Until then, we need to make sure that we can be an example in each one of our priorities with genuine purity in everything we say and do. Dianne Feinstein, California state senator, was not state senator, our senior citizen to the United States government, was here in Riverside this week. I don't know how many of you read the article about her. Any of you read the article about her this week? Press Enterprise did not give her a generally favorable article. It was, I thought, you know, kind of uncomfortable. I'll put it that way. I don't want to step in any political toes in any way, shape, or form. But the woman is 84 years old. And I think at the very least at 84 years old, someone can pay some respect. God bless those of you who are 84 who are here today, if anyone here is 84. The woman's 84 years old. She's still running a busy schedule. She's still running an incredibly busy schedule. And here was the reason they were giving her grief, because she's just declared that she's going to run for office again. How many of you know how long a Senate seat lasts for? How many years? 6 years. That's 6 years at 84. So I want you to know, the Republicans aren't happy with her, and the Democrats aren't happy with her. I mean, nobody's happy with her, because the Democrats are saying, you know, give someone else a shot. Come on, you've been there forever, girl. Come on, just let someone else in. The Republicans are saying, not again. I mean, whatever we're doing. This woman is literally one of the wealthiest women in the state of California, and she's taking this time at the age of 84. Do you think she'll live to be 90? Well, I'll tell you what, she keeps on doing this stuff. She's probably going to live to be 200. Who knows how long she's going to live? But she's still setting goals out there. I don't know about you, but when I'm 84, I want to be like that. I want to be like her, regardless of my political perspective. I kid you not, as pastor, I was talking with Ken yesterday. I said, oh, Ken, you just had your vacation. When you're on vacation, were you thinking about retirement? He said, no, I was ready to get back to work. I said, like, after vacation, it's not hard to get back to work? He said, no, it's not hard. And I'm thinking, man, if I just had my vacation, I'd be thinking, oh, buddy, it's time for me to go back. I am 63 years, I'm 20, I'm a legal adult younger than Barbara Feinstein, or no, Dianne Feinstein, Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein. That's it. I'm a legal adult younger than Dianne Feinstein, and she's meeting with people 5 and 6 times a day, all up and down the state and all around California. And she's been with the people in the fire, she's been everywhere, and she's still flying back and forth to D.C. And she says, I want to do this for 6 more years. Do you think she gets that she's going to be 90? Oh, yeah, she totally gets it. And yet she's going to keep on going. How many of you want to be like her when you're 84? I mean, don't you? I mean, regardless of whatever your politics are or anything, I mean, you just want to have a passion. But imagine if you're that way today for Christ Jesus. I don't want you to be like that when you're 84. I want you to be like that today for Christ Jesus. I want you to be like that today for Central Community. I want you to be like that today in your love for each other, to be an example in our priorities. I love the quote by Ann Brashears. Do any of you know who Ann Brashears is? No one. You all will when I tell you. She's the one who wrote the book, Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. Did any of you read that book or see the movie? It's fun. It's a fun book, fun movie. And so the quote, literally, she says this quote kind of summarizes her writing and her life. I love it. It says, you'll turn out ordinary if you're not careful. Let's say that out loud together. You'll turn out ordinary if you're not careful. How many of you have felt ordinary one too many times? I mean, you know, it's just so easy to think, oh, man, things are just becoming so ordinary. And you know what? You will turn out ordinary if you're not careful. If you're not careful to pray for that positive growth, grace, healing, and big love in others, if you're not careful to be an example in our priorities with genuine purity, you know what? The things that you know how to do will just fall away, and you'll not do them. And you fall into the humdrum of what your life is about. In going through all of this stuff where I found all of these old things, I found this cool little booklet. It says, Let Us Help You, Devotions for Hospital Days, presented by Eaton First Church of God. I wrote this. I mean, I'm thinking to myself, I served in a church in the mid-80s in Eaton, Indiana, when I was in graduate school in Indiana. And so I served as youth pastor. There was a church of 500 in a town of 800. I mean, we were the dominant force, believe me. You got a town of 800, church of 500, and this church of 500 there and everything. And the pastor, senior pastor, came in one day and said, I want you to put together a devotion for hospital days for people. Now, this was pre-computer. I was the only one on staff who had a computer, and it was old DOS 2.0, you know, Xena thing. And so I typed it up, and he said, I want the different people in the church to, it was a great idea, different people in the church to write the devotions so that when we go visit someone in the hospital, we can leave it behind and they see someone and they look and they see the devotion. The first one was David Isaac. Yeah, I remember. The second one, Margaret Unger. Yeah, I remember Margaret Unger. She was on the board of the church. Boy, the next one, it just goes on and on by each one of these people. Jan Maddox, that was the pastor's wife. Ed Satterfield, Ed was the greatest guy. And each one a devotion. So it was for 5 or 6 days so that when we visited in the hospital, then we could leave it behind with them. I found this. I wonder why we've never done this here at Central Community. Now, I did this over 30 years. How many of you think this would be a good idea still? You see, it's still a great idea, but it's been sitting in a drawer. For all I know, maybe the people at Eaton still use something like this. Except we redid it like every 3 months or every quarter so different people could write different devotions, different names. And when someone was in the hospital, they read a devotion, and it was by not some stranger somewhere far off. It was by someone they knew. About a verse that we'd picked out for them and said, could you write a devotion about this? And we'd be able to visit in the hospital, leave them a nice little gift, and this, and say, here, while you're here, you might want to read this. How many of you would have liked this while you were in the hospital, something like this? I would have. I would have liked, I've been in the hospital twice in the last 30 years since I've been here, and Ken's visited me each time, and it'd been great if Pastor Ken was, and by the way, Pastor, you know, I'm just leaving you this devotion, and I could look, oh, look, this one written by Don, that's so nice, this one's written by Bob, that's so nice, this one's written by Todd, that's so nice, and all these devotions written by the people of Central Community as I went through this. What a blessing. What a gift for each one of us. You see, but it's easy just to get into the humdrum. For me, I'd just forgotten about it, and so for 30 years, nothing has been done. What have you let go for the last 30 years, or the last 10 years, the last 20 years? What about just for the last week? And you've let your life lose any sense of adventure and you've become ordinary. We're meant to be an example. And finally, third way we can begin to lift up anyone in love is to let God out. To let God out in our own lives. To be glorious always. I don't know about you, but when I was combing my hair this morning after I'd put on my shirt and I was standing there getting ready for church, as I'm combing my hair, I didn't look at myself and say, oh, you are glorious, Eric. You are absolutely glorious. I mean, you are going to be glorious today in every single way. I visited two friends yesterday. One of them 97 years old, the other one 89 years old. They're sisters. They're sisters. Both of them have been in the hospital last week, so Pastor Ken and I were in Long Beach for meetings, and so I said, Ken, do you mind coming along visiting these friends? And Ken's good friends with one of them as well, so we went up and we visited these friends who live in different condominiums, different nice places in Long Beach. And both of them looked at me and said, well, Eric, you've gotten kind of fat. I mean, 97-year-old woman just out of intensive care, I'm feeling like going, bow! You know, it's just like, go to see your younger sister at 89. Well, Eric, you're a little bit portly there, aren't you? Poof! I mean, I'm not feeling gracious suddenly. I'm thinking to myself, wait a second, I'm taking time out of my day driving over here to visit you, and you're calling me fat? You're calling me portly? What is the story? You know, for me, I was able to smile about it, to laugh about it, but I didn't feel glorious over it. There's no feel. It's easy to lose the feeling of glorious, isn't it? And if we count on feeling glorious on our outward appearances in life, you're never going to have it. You see, glorious comes from inside. Glorious comes from that which God puts inside of you. The glorious is that which God created you for. What does it say? It says, may you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ, for this will bring much glory and praise to God. See, our lives are to bring much glory and praise to God when we let God out in our own lives. And we're glorious always in everything we say and do. It says, may you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation. My friend who told me the story about his check engine light and putting the tape over it, he looked at me, and he's a preacher. We're the same age. We've known each other since we were youth pastors back in our 20s. And now we're working together at Siempre again. It's cool. It's cool for him to come alongside and everything and want to work with Siempre. And his church has been incredibly generous with Siempre. And this is what he said. He said, Eric, you know I turned that check engine light into an illustration, don't you? And I said, oh, yeah, I imagine you did. And I said, I plan on using it, Bob. He said, no. He said, you'd never guess. This is what happened. He said, I'd drive around at night And he said, in the daytime, I couldn't see it at all with the black tape. But at night, he said, that tape was over it, and it glowed right through. You could see it all around that black tape. There was like a glow all around it. And I could tell that I was covering, it was like this reminder that I was letting something go in my life. And I thought, I'm going to use that. That preaches. I'm going to totally use that. And I thought for you and me, you know, so many of us, I mean, God's love is deeply within us. I mean, God's love was poured out completely at the cross in his son, Christ Jesus. God's love was poured out completely in the healing work and the teaching hands of Christ Jesus. God's love moves in our little fellowship as we serve him and we have the opportunity to come alongside each other. And all too often, we tape it up and we just kind of wait to see the glowing from behind the tape. And we feel good. There are even names for those kind of services. They call them afterglow services and things like that. And we don't think, oh, wait, well, I'm not supposed to be living in an afterglow. I'm supposed to be living in the full force glory. I'm supposed to untape that light and let it shine. We teach it to our children in Sunday school, don't we? Maybe you learned it. What is it? This little light of mine. I'm going to do what? Let it shine. Where? All around the neighborhood, all around the world, all the way until Jesus comes, I'm going to let it shine. For you and me, that's what God invites us to let our love out. To let our love out. To live a life that honors and glorifies him when it's so easy just to become ordinary. Simple prayer on the back of your card this morning. It says, I've neglected love in order to get the things I want. That's a heavy part of the prayer right there. But I think all of us have done it. Neglected love in order to get the things we want. Forgive me, Father. Thanks for giving me Jesus as the perfect gift, teacher, and witness of love. Help me to live like he's my Lord, to really love others. Give me courage to step into the big adventure you created me for. Thanks. You see, so many of us, we live life like this. Not the big adventure that you created me for, but the big adventure that you created for me. And we walk through life like, oh, look at everything God created for me. And we forget that, no, that's not the way this worked. God didn't create all of this for you. He created you for a big adventure. And you get to live in this incredible creation of love and to walk in it. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you and we're humbled by your presence, Father, always. We thank you so much for your invitation to love. We think about these words that the Apostle Paul wrote that are so pregnant with life, God, and so pregnant with love. So pregnant with so many lessons, Father. We would ask that they would be born in us today, God. That we would begin to understand how glorious you are within us. That we would begin to understand what it means to take that risk to go out and pray for someone else. To let them into our lives and to lift them up in love. We would begin to somehow take that risk so we wouldn't be ordinary, Father, but instead we would be who you wanted us to be, that we would be glorious in everything we say and in everything we do. Lord Jesus, we think about the folks up in Santa Rosa today, the churches that were burnt down, the homes that were lost, the thousands that are gathering in tents, on burned out streets today, knowing that everything's been taken from them. Holy Spirit, we would ask that you would surround them with your comfort, with your strength. For the church leaders and the Christians in those communities, Father, and all the spiritual leaders, we would ask that you would give them just an underpinning of power right now that they didn't even know that they had, that they could let their love out in ways that they didn't even begin to know that they had the strength for, Father, and that we could come alongside them in love and help however we can. And yet, Lord Jesus, we would ask that you would also open our eyes to our community. That we would begin to look for those who need to be loved, for those who are being left out, for those who are lonely, and that we would reach out to them, Father, where their homes may not be burning down, but God, they've pulled so deeply within that they're feeling left out completely. We would ask that you would heal us, that we might be a healing force to others. Thank you, God, for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.